Take just a few moments to reintroduce us to an old adversary that we have. He was here from the beginning. You know who he is now. There's nothing I'm going to tell you that's new. It's all been said before. I'm just going to remind you of it. I'm going to talk about Satan and three forms that he appears into us in order to try to reclaim us into his kingdom. First thing I'd like to call your attention to is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1. In the first part of that verse, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." I love the King James interpretation of that word cunning. It says subtle. To my mind, that kind of emphasizes the sneaky, underhanded, deceitful manner in which he approaches people in order to deceive them. If we go over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 3, we find Paul worried about the Corinthians in the same manner. He says, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So it was continuing on in the time of Paul. And we needn't think that it stopped there, because it continues on in our day also. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11, I won't read all of those verses, but Jesus is being tempted by Satan as he is led away into the wilderness. And Satan quotes Scripture, and Jesus more than once has to say, "It is also written," in order to correct him from the things that he was saying. And finally, in verse 10, he said, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So in this instance, we find Satan appearing as that subtle or cunning serpent. He comes to beguile man's senses. He comes to prevent man having good judgment by arguing against them, by deceiving him. Well, the second way that Satan appears before us in order to get us back in his clutches is found in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter again, verses 13 through 15, where the apostle, speaking of those who were teaching false doctrine, said, "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." if we go over a little bit to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the first verse 14 and 15, the apostle again is concerned about the Ephesians growing into the stature of a perfect man. He says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So here we have Satan coming as an angel of light, appearing to be a really nice person in the sense that his helpers come presenting themselves as teachers of that which is good. And yet, if you follow those teachings, you don't wind up in heaven, but in the fire lake that burns with fire. Look over in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. John, writing to the angel of the church in Smyrna, said, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not. They are a synagogue of Satan." Again, in the 3rd chapter, in verse 9, he says, "Indeed, I will make those," and this was written to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Satan had his synagogues in the first century. In the 21st century, he has his churches. As we were kind of studying about in the class this evening. He presents himself as an angel of light, and presents the false doctrine, convinces people to follow him and follow his teachings rather than the teachings that Christ left us. And therefore, he establishes his beliefs, which will get you lost among the people. We can look about it. What was it Chip Foster was saying? They had some 4,200 different people calling themselves Christian denominations back in 2006, and they were growing at the rate of somewhere between 400 and 800 a year, so we have a lot more now. All teaching something that wasn't taught in the gospel of Christ. It's taught by the deceitfulness of men because Satan said do it. And they were deceived. He deceives men with false views of religion. That's the second way that he gets to people, appearing as an angel of light. And finally, 1 Peter 5. Verses 8 and 9. The apostle said to be sober, to be vigilant to those Christians, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's not that we experience these things all by ourselves as Christians. Even those who are in the world experience some bad times. But we are supposed to resist the devil. Generally speaking, the world embraces Satan and his deeds. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, again. verses 19 through 21. This is when Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So here's the third way that Satan comes to get us to go and follow him again. As a roaring lion, he comes. He deceives and demeans us, devours us by violent tribulation and severe persecution. Now, we've been fortunate in this country. We haven't had a whole lot of that going on that other countries do. And it could come to this country. But that's a way that that Satan gets us to do his will rather than the will of God. And finally, look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. In writing to the church at Smyrna, the apostle said, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, when we start thinking about the machinations of Satan, we can remember how he comes three simple ways. Through subtlety or cunning deceit. As an angel of light deceiving us with words, wrong words, or as a roaring lion through persecution of some sort. We don't have to do that. In fact, we can do that and expect to see the end of our life and wind up with Jesus in heaven. That's all I had to say about that. if anyone is here who has not obeyed the gospel, it'd be a good time to escape the penalty of sin by obeying it. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, willing to confess that he is before men, that he is the Son of God before men, willing to repent of your sins and live in them no longer, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins, then God will add you to his church. Men can't do it, but God can. And he will do that tonight. Or if you need any help from the church in any manner, would you please come forward while we stand and sing?